Now, however, there are guidelines set and regulations put for these public sector undertakings. We see that these companies are facing a lot of issues with respect to profitability and efficiency. If that's the case, let's understand why these companies are not that profitable and what is the issue with the efficiency of these private sector undertakings. So, first major reason for their poor performance, I'll say, is nothing but initial heavy cost, capital cost, the time of planning and the implementation stage. So initial year, maybe the company spent a lot of money on capital expenditure. The plan was of completing a project in 3 years, but till 5 years have not completed the project. So time and plan is a big problem. And so implementation has got delayed, because of which the company may be showing a very poor performance and maybe into losses. Second, there's a lot of gestation period of public sector units. Please understand, longer gestation period, longer PLCs are also reason for poor performance. So these companies have a lot of waiting time, and a lot of time which takes for approval of budgets, a lot of time for money coming in and the project starting in. In that, maybe a year gets wasted. So longer waiting period or gestation period of public sector units has also delayed a lot of good companies and led them into losses. There's larger unutilized capacity. Maybe the government was expecting to make tons of steel out of a steel plant, but there is no demand of the steel which the government is making. And so the plant is now underutilized. Maybe it's not getting the right market to sell off those steel products outside the country. So these unutilized capacity also leads to poor performance and losses for the public sector units. There is also a heavy social cost. If you see, when you talk about society as such, each individual is looking upon on government, what kind of services will the government give, and they will always look at bare minimum prices to be paid for these services. So since you are catering to the society, you've opened a company for a social benefit, and so maybe your margins are very low. So there could be a heavy social cost which the government has to pay, or maybe even change the plan for the larger benefit of the society. That could also be a reason of poor performance of these sectors. There are low price products. Yes, all the companies which are public sector units, the objective is fix the price at a level which is lower than the private companies, or completely give a service at a very, very low cost, at a no profit, no loss situation. And that may at times backfire, because the price fixed ones remains for ages or for decades, and it may cause a lot of problem for the government in the future years, leading to losses or poor performance of these sector units. There's also a high expense ratio. Since you are generating a lot of employment, you've got people in place, even if the plant is underutilized, you'll not remove those people who you have employed. And so maybe the employee cost is very high. Or maybe you're procuring raw material from some private company or from some place where the raw material prices have gone up. So your expenses are increasing. However, your prices remain the same. So a higher expense ratio also leads to a poor performance. Last and very important, it's the inefficiency of the management. The board of directors appointed, the people who are working at the top level of these public sector undertakings, if they are not able to manage the entire show well, if they are not able to get the right permission or take right strategic decisions on time, that is also a reason for a poor performance or bad performance of this central public sector undertakings. Now let's understand who a financial advisor is in case of public sector undertaking and what is the role of this financial advisor. So financial advisor is basically the one which is appointed by the government. This particular individual is very good in accounting and has a very good sound accounting knowledge, and it represents on the board to take all kind of decisions with respect to finance in public sector undertakings. So let's look at what are the different roles which this financial advisor plays. So first role is financial concurrence. So this financial advisor is now responsible for all kind of budgeting, for any kind of strategic plans to be finalized, any capex decisions to be taken. So a lot of financial decisions, or I'll say entire financial decisions, is basically on this financial advisor. He's also accountable to and responsible to talk about how the money was spent and what kind of profits or losses the entire enterprise has made. The financial advisor is also responsible for payment of all bills of a particular accounting period and reporting to respective authorities with audited statements how much money is spent. Third, this financial advisor is also responsible for sales and commercial activity. We said we are going to make a revenue budget as well as expense budget. So financial advisor would ensure the budgets are in place. There are no variances with respect to any such activity. Revenue or top line of or whatever is expected, we are meeting those expectations. Plus all the expenses, bills are paid on time. The financial advisor will also ensure that it finds out new ways of controlling cost. So it will do cost control in that particular company and will also help the management take the right decision. So this particular financial advisor is not only an advisor, but it also starts working minutely with each individual in the company to ensure that efficiencies are achieved and the costs are minimized. So I'll say the financial advisor is not only playing a role of an advisor, but is also working as a core member in the finance team by doing a lot of budgeting and budgetary control for the particular company. So the entire onus of getting things approved as well as reporting them to different authority is a major role of this financial advisor. So it will plan the budget, check the budget, whatever has been devised, and get things rolling. This financial advisor would also check what are the tax norms to be followed, how much is the tax to be paid by this particular unit, and try to ensure there is proper tax planning and make the best out of the government schemes which are available. The financial advisor is also responsible for ensuring that provident fund, gratuity fund, all these trusts are made and money of the employees working in this public sector units are safeguarded with these authorities so that nobody would face any challenge in future when it comes to remittance of these money. This advisor may also set up a lot of internal audit team. He himself would do an internal audit or internal check or could form a team of checkers who could be an internal auditors for checking different activities in the entire organization. So financial advisor is a key person, works like a CFO of a company for a public sector undertaking. Let's talk about what is public enterprise policy. When it comes to government, what is the government doing now? What is this new policy about public sector undertakings and what is the plan of the government today and in future? First major plan of the government is to reduce their stake in all non-strategic public sector units to 26% or lower if necessary. So government now feels that if a particular sector has a lot of private companies and there is healthy competition among them, they are trying to disinvest themselves, get down their stake in those public sector units up to 26% or even lower and trying to exit and put that company into a private mode. Second, government also wants to restructure and revive a lot of potentially viable PSUs which have become sick. They want to restructure this because they feel that there is potential in future. These companies may do good if the entire working exchange or the restructuring or merger by a private party gets in a lot of expertise for it to get rolling. Government is also closing down all those PSUs which are not giving proper profits, they are into losses and which they feel cannot be now revived. And they are also ensuring the people who are working in PSUs to find them some kind of alternative employment. They are trying to fully protect the interest of workers by ensuring this. So if they are closing any PSUs, they are ensuring that these employees don't become jobless and they're already started finding what kind of alternatives could be given to these employees. So this is something new which is happening in public sector undertakings in India right now. Irrespective of all these, there are still problems with respect to financial management in public undertakings. We talked about financial advisor, we talked about budgeting, we talked about approvals, but still financial management is a concern in these public sector undertaking. Let's understand what are these concern areas for or financial management for these undertakings. First, there's a lack of proper planning. So I don't know whatever plan I've made, you know, whether it's the right plan or no. So, and maybe at times some kind of budgets are created, but a plan of implementation is not in place. Or I don't have proper timelines with respect to implementation after the money has come in from the government. So lack of proper planning is one of the biggest problems of managing money in these units. Second, we see there is an unfavorable input-output ratio. There's a lot of cash in, you know, outflow with respect to capital expenditure on different social projects or infrastructure development or asset acquisition. But when it comes to outflow, government is seeing that, you know, I have put a lot of money in outflow. When it comes to inflow, the people are not actually utilizing the facility, or people are not feeling that it's rightly priced. So maybe the demand is low. It's taking a lot of years for it to catch up. And so the initial years, we see that the performance of financial management of these companies is very, very poor. This also actually disturbs the entire working capital of the company and impacts the performance of the company. Talking about cost of capital, since the money comes from the government, cost of capital is very, very low. But we need to understand, however, the cost of capital is very low, we need to account for a realistic cost to ensure that the money is, you know, is valued properly. Next is with respect to problem of pricing. We talked about administrative pricing, and because the pricing is very low, it's difficult for these companies to earn a good amount of surplus and be highly profitable compared to private companies. There's also a problem of surplus. No public sector undertaking has till date talked about how to report the surplus, or whether they should report the surplus or no. And if surplus is generated, what next growth plan do this public sector undertaking has? So this problem of surplus is also another major issue, which leads to a poor financial management. So a lot of money is coming, I don't know how to utilize the money, and I don't know what next to do, where to report it, and how to utilize or not utilize this money, because I'll require a lot of permission. This is also another problem of financial management with these units. There's a problem of raising loans. Why? Cost of capital is already less when it comes to equity. Government is the owner. So a lot of, you know, private banks would not find it feasible to give you loan. Maybe nationalized bank may think of, you know, giving you some kind of temporary loan or no. But yes, there's a problem in raising such loan from private banks. There's also a problem of budgeting. We sell no proper planning. Maybe the budgets are at times faulty. They're dependent on historical budget. They're just adjusting them for inflation. They are not actually making a thorough budget. Oh, that is also one of the reasons that you've not planned for what changes have happened. You are not dynamic in your budgeting. And that has created problem now for financial management. There's also a problem of delegation of authority. When it comes to public enterprises, we know financial advisor is the main person who's taking care of a lot of activities, and maybe his former team to whom he's delegated the authority, but that doesn't come under the work scope of why they have been posted. So whether they will take a decision, not take a decision, whether they will work properly or no. So delegation of authority is also a big challenge in these public sector units, because the lower level people have no control on decision making, or they have no say in any kind of business of public sector units. Internal audits. You've seen that these public sector units have a financial advisor who makes the internal audit team. At times, it so happens that these internal audits are more tedious than the strategic audits. Okay, so statutory audit is simpler than the internal audit, which also creates problem or delays a lot of work in the company. Role and responsibility of financial advisor. We've said that the financial advisor is supposed to work like a CFO of the company. However, we've seen that these financial advisors at times feel they're an outside person who's just monitoring and auditing the company. If that's the case, they don't take any strategic decisions. They don't get involved in the company working, which poses a problem for performance of financial management of these companies. There is a lot of problem of inventory holding. Public sector undertakings actually invest a lot of money in inventory. They hold up a huge chunk of inventory, which at times also become obsolete in the coming months or, you know, in a year, which leads to losses for these companies and impacts the entire financial management of the company. There is a problem of calling reports. State government, central government, RBI, SEBI, all the body, different regulatory bodies involved. Anybody and everybody may ask you for any report. So a lot of reports are created in different formats for different bodies, which also impacts the working of these companies. So a lot of work goes in reporting, prepare different formats to different authorities. There is a problem of performance. At times, the products which are delivered, people feel that they are cheaper quality because it comes from public sector undertakings, and so the performance of the company gets hampered. Disinvestment policy of the government has already come into place, and this disinvestment policy says what can be disinvested, what cannot be disinvested. And at times, these public sector undertakings, however, have some loss-making units, but under the norm, they're not allowed to disinvest into that, which also poses a problem for the financial management of these companies, of these undertakings. So we've seen the problems with respect to public sector undertakings. Now, what can the government do, or what are the new developments which the government should look at in order to revive these public sector undertakings, or how these public enterprises are now catching up with in the competition with private companies? So one best thing which is happening in public sector undertaking is now technology integration. With the entire banner of digitalization, these companies are now having ERP systems in place, which are helping them to keep a track of what's happening at different parts where the plants are located. Maybe the company has one plant located in Maharashtra and another in Delhi. So it's now easy. The technology is helping them integrate what decisions are happening, what expenses are happening, since it's embedded in the ERP system. There's also performance-based budgeting. Now government have decided that your KPIs or your incentives as the top management of public sector undertaking linked with the profits. So you earn a profit, you do good performance, I'll give you performance-based money. So there is performance-based budgeting which is happening with targets given to each individual, how to perform, what kind of money would be allocated for the same, and the performance is monitored based on the KPIs. There's a lot of risk management and compliance also, which is now taken care of. We spoke about internal audits. So now a lot of risk management activities are happening with the advent of technology. So you are able to do compliance better, as now all these compliance are digitalized. There's outcome-based reporting. We're going to talk about what impact have you created. So whether you have controlled, when you're talking about outcome-based reporting, reporting is now more focused on ESG norms, or I'll say they are now looking at, say, pollution control. If I'm going to talk about environmental law, I want to know whether there is a pollution control or no. So how much of the change did you get in raw material which has reduced the pollution? Give that number. So there's an outcome-based reporting which is happening, which is also improving the performance of these companies. There is integrated reporting framework. So you have the non-financial reporting and financial reporting integrated together. You are giving a corporate governance report. You're also giving a business responsibility, social responsibility report together. So you're integrating both the reports together, preparing a framework to ensure these companies perform better. There is also public-private partnership. Government is now inviting a lot of private companies to come and join hands. In fact, they are also disinvesting their stake to get the expertise from these private companies and to revive or, you know, make these companies, public sector companies, more competitive. That's also a new development which we have seen. We see environmental and social accounting. So we talked about ESG factors. So now report how much of the social account impact have you got. So you spend X money on a social activity, maybe building a school, making homes, or giving education facility. How many people benefited out of it? So what is the outcome, or what is the impact which you have created needs to be now accounted for and reported in a particular framework, which is helping these companies do better and get better investors. This is also helping a lot of investors to look at public sector undertaking to invest in these companies. And there is an ease of flow of capital in these companies now. Data analytics and business intelligence is also used by these. So government, a lot of data with respect to who's buying what. So these business intelligence tools are now used to understand where the demand is and cater those needs of the people and plan the future infrastructure development or plan the future budget looking at these business intelligence report. There's also a lot of control now which has come internally. We talked about the internal audit. They are now more structured. And that is also strengthening the entire working of public sector enterprises. With the private companies coming in, processes and systems are in place, and they are now in better control compared to completely being or majorly being government enterprise. There's also sustainable finance initiative. We are going to discuss sustainable finance in the next chapter. But just to give you an overview, it's basically funding using different formats like a green bond or a climate bond. This money is flowing in from not only from Indian investors, but from foreign investors. If you take any kind of initiative to support sustainability for future generation, then the money is flowing in different formats, not only from our country, but from abroad. And the government is utilizing this particular mode also to come up with new treasury bills. So Raising money with respect to sustainable finance is also supporting the entire social objective of running a public enterprise. So this is a new development in public enterprise sector. I'm sure in India, we'll see a lot of change in public sector undertaking working in the next few years. Thank you.